From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. Southern California Edison has begun construction on the biggest ever wind energy transmission project in the U.S. In another 5 years, the Rosemead-based utility hopes to add 4,500 megawatts to the system, much of it from turbines in the Tehachapi area of northern Los Angeles County and eastern Kern County. 4,500 megawatts, Edison says, that's enough electricity to power about 3 million California homes. Chrysler is planning to close its Pacifica Advanced Product Design Center in Carlsbad to reduce costs. Only 25 jobs are involved in the decision, but the center was one of the first design studios located in California by a Detroit carmaker. SoCal designers helped develop the new Dodge Challenger and the Chrysler 300. Southern California is home to the nation's largest car market, and it's widely considered a hotbed for automotive fashion trends the rest of the world follows. Historically low fish counts in California rivers forebode another year of severe restrictions on commercial and sport fishing fleets. Fishermen are pinning their hopes on a new plan aimed at resolving conflicts between them and farmers and Indian tribes along the Klamath River. After 3 years of closed-door meetings, there's finally a settlement on the table. But as Craig Miller reports, things are far from settled.
Just over the Oregon border from Siskiyou County, water pulses from the J.C. Boyle Dam through a huge penstock into the powerhouse. This is the first in a series of four hydroelectric dams strung along the Klamath River from Klamath Falls, Oregon, into Northern California. Removing the dams has become a rallying point for environmentalists who say the dams are blocking 300 miles of potential spawning grounds for salmon and hurting fish populations downstream by choking off the river, warming the water and promoting the growth of toxic algae.
If we take that bottleneck out by taking those dams out, the rebound of these salmon populations will be extraordinary in our lifetime.
Biologist Pat Higgins is a consultant for several Indian tribes along the Klamath.
You can't get any more sure of this in science. I mean, there's always some wiggle room of, you know, the linkages and how things work, but we leave these dams in for another 50 years, I can guarantee you that we will not have a chance to restore spring chinook. I can guarantee you that coho salmon will have much less chance to rebound.
The tribes, along with farmers, fishermen, and various government agencies, were among 26 stakeholders known as the Klamath Settlement Group. Early this year, they hammered out an agreement calling for all four of these dams to come out. Maria Vojkovic with California's Department of Fish and Game, a key player in the talks.
We feel it's going to be best for salmon, best for the agriculture, best for the river, best for the communities in the area. So we're hopeful that the public sees it that way.
But there's at least one significant party to all of this that doesn't see it that way. The owner of the dams, Pacific Power, was not at the table in those talks and has not agreed to anything.
I think we're not opposed to an agreement that might involve dam removal, but I think we're going to continue to be staunch advocates for our customers' interests and our property rights.
Toby Freeman is a community manager for Pacific Power. He maintains that the dams are not the problem on the Klamath, that they still serve a vital purpose. Pacific Power is waiting for federal regulators to renew a 50-year license for the four dams. Last November, a staff report from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission endorsed leaving the dams in place, but adding fish ladders and other environmental protections that would cost the utility some $300 million.
We historically have relied on these hydro facilities to generate low-cost, clean, renewable energy. It's emissions-free electricity that meets the needs of over 70,000 customers. And those needs aren't going away.
Some of those customers are farmers like the Crawford brothers, who harvest about 100,000 sacks of potatoes every year from the nearby Tule Lake Basin, with water from the upper Klamath and inexpensive hydropower from the dams. Tending a conveyor that tumbles potatoes into a storage shed, 60-year-old John Crawford rejects the idea that taking out the dams will save the fish. He says the Klamath is already unfit for salmon before it hits the first dam.
The water quality in Upper Klamath Lake is terribly poor. The temperature is high. The dissolved oxygen is low. And those fish, those salmonids, the anadromous fishery downstream, they can't tolerate it above 68. So we've got problems. when we have a fish die off for whatever reason downstream, we cannot fix that by sending more warm water that's toxic down to those fish.
And this is where the Klamath settlement has another hole in the bucket. It depends on a separate negotiation with farmers like the Crawfords, who want assurance that they'll get the water they need for their crops and no sticker shock in their electric bill if the dams are removed. Still, John Crawford's younger brother Rob remains hopeful.
An era of cooperation is occurring, or a dialogue or communication. And I would hate to see a lot of these efforts, the positive efforts that are going on, be lost. We've just gone down this road far enough now that we're truly looking at each other's needs and trying to get to a place where there's the best outcome for everyone.
Almost any outcome will be expensive. Some estimate it'll cost $1 billion to implement the agreement, but there's no provision for where the money would come from. At this point, the long-awaited Klamath settlement doesn't seem to settle much. Again, biologist Pat Higgins.
I think the words of Bob Dylan in All Along the Watchtower apply, and that is, let us not talk falsely. The hour is getting late. And while the Klamath has enormous resilience, the hour is certainly getting late.
It may be later than we think. Record low numbers of fish in the Sacramento system will now put even more pressure on the Klamath to help the fishing communities and the fish survive. For the California Report, I'm Craig Miller.
And finally today, you may be taking a swig of way more than water when you pour a glass from the tap. The Associated Press reports drinking water delivered to some 41 million Americans, including more than 18 million Californians, tested positive for antibiotics, anticonvulsants, and sex hormones, among other things. AP investigators found only tiny concentrations, but scientists can't say for sure these pharmaceutical-laced cocktails don't have some effect on people. The federal government doesn't require any testing and hasn't set any safety limits. That's the California Report for Monday, March 10th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995, and the California Endowment, working to ensure that Californians get statewide health reform this year. Online at cahealthreformnow.org.